All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
You're watching Oilers Nation every day with Tyler Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
Hey, Jay, I got a surprise for you.
Oh, boy.
Hey!
That's USD as well. Let's get into it with the lead. I am, my Visa card is locked because of how many ATMs I tried to use in Arizona, but I finally got that with a little interest on there as well because the bank I went to didn't have 10
50s. I owe you 10.
Great. I like that we now have a great back and forth of money transfers. Welcome in to Oilers Nation every day, live from the Sports Closet studio. Finally back home and in the Sports Closet studio. 47 hours in the desert on a nation vacation, gentlemen. That felt both like 10 minutes in the desert and a week in the desert at the same time. It was a lot.
It was a lot. And I think our bodies are all still recovering from what occurred the last 3 days.
It was a lot of good.
A lot. It was the best.
It was a lot of good, but unfortunately, good times come at a price.
Do you know, actually, the most difficult part of the trip was when we were declaring through customs. And it was like, were you there for less than 48 hours? Or more than 48 hours?
Yeah, I went 48 hours, but less than 7 days.
I did that one too.
No, I did 24 because we were only technically in Arizona for like 40.
But we landed. Hours. Well, the thing is, though, I based it on we got to customs at like 7 a.m. and then once you cross customs, you're technically in the States.
Yes.
And we got back through customs at 3 p.m. or whatever it was.
Well, now I'm gonna get arrested because I lied. And I even hit the thing.
That you hit the declaration.
I declare that this is the truth. Anyways, the short four giant game day edition of the show. Frank Saravalli is going to swing by us. We're doing some deadline talk like we do every Wednesday. We're also popping over on the Oilers Nation YouTube where our boy Adam Anderson is in. Have to get up early for work today following the nation vacation was unpleasant. Our boy Andy was a good time. I liked hanging out with him.
Oh, yeah.
That was good. Dackie is in and says nation vacation looked like a really great time. May have to join y'all on the next one. I like this. Thank you, Andy. This was my first trip with the crew. I feel quite comfortable saying it won't be my last. That was amazing.
We look forward to hanging out again, man. That was that one has to be our best one yet.
I've only been to two, and I think this one was significantly better than Vegas, and Vegas was unbelievable too.
Vegas is unbelievable, but Vegas is also just like insane, right? Like you show up as a crew, but all of a sudden, like in 4 seconds, everyone's gone because there's like 9 million people.
We were a big crew the whole time.
We were a unit.
Yeah. It was literally just like, hey, we have called 6 Ubers collectively.
Driverless.
Yeah, driverless cars. Everyone go to the lobby. It was a lot of fun.
I got some photos here.
Okay, let's run through. Let's do a little trip down memory lane before we get into everything else. The pregame spot, Devil's Advocate, was absolutely lit. That was so much fun. Aaron said he went back and watched the show as well, and we didn't seem that drunk, which is a dub in itself.
Whoa. I said we definitely seemed drunk, but it wasn't anything bad. We were good.
On what? Chalmers?
Okay. No, Chalmers was good.
Oh, Chalmers fine?
Chalmers was good.
Sergeant Battle, 30 people rolling into a Taco Bell at 8:30 p.m. feeling like 2 a.m. That when I looked at my clock in that Taco Bell cantina and I was like, how is it 8:15 right now?
You took that picture of me and I didn't know what time it was at all. And I went back and looked after you posted me. It was like 8:23 p.m.
There's the Chalmers clan right there.
That was great. Yeah, we had people of all ages joining us at the Devil's Advocate
Rick
as well.
Just forgot how mics work.
Yeah, Rick, on the post game when Rick was just standing there having conversations with us. And I was like, dude, like, you need a mic if you're going to talk. Also, 1, 2, 3, 5 beers, 4 shots on the table there.
That was pregame.
Some of the best memories were definitely this, sitting around the fire as well. That was a
great hotel.
That was a lot of fun.
An amazing
Chalmers hotel. Fake playing the acoustic guitar for like 30 minutes was just, it was all time stuff.
Yeah.
Chalmers did what he normally does late night by a fire. He puts on a show.
Yeah. Captain Felton, absolute vibe. I know Mainlander Tim was in here. Kennedy's in this photo. He said, big shout out to Gina and Kennedy for making his wife feel now welcome. She wants to know when the next one is as well. So we don't have another one coming this year.
I know. I feel sad. Like, I want one like tomorrow.
I know. It really is too bad. But next year will be a big one.
Oh, there's our Oodle Noodle contest winners.
Yeah, two of our contest winners.
The best behaved plane baby I've ever experienced in my life. It only cried when we landed in Edmonton.
Yeah. Because they poked the baby in the eye. We were laughing on the plane. I mean, we had laughs the whole weekend. We were laughing on the plane. We were like, baby didn't cry. Really had to push your luck on that one.
Goat. Yeah.
Goat.
Goat and Brad Stepenko. The best. Legends.
Our other Oodle Noodle contest winners, Craig and his wife, they were a ton of fun to be around too. He was an absolute beauty.
That's his hat trick hat too.
Well, he was ready.
Keep that thing on you.
Keep that thing on you.
It was really, really good. Captain Felton and Chris Palmer, the now famous kiss, the kiss scene around Edmonton, I guess you could say.
And then the last one.
Yeah, the one big group shot in front of the bar too. It was just
kids were in the bar. It was great. Yeah, it was a family friendly
it was
activity.
A family affair, man. Yeah. Well, when it's daytime out, it's all ages.
Yeah.
That's what I liked about it is that, yeah, that at 6 p.m. is that like it was just all during the day, all the mayhem during the day, go to the cantina to kind of like quote unquote end the night and then go have an awesome fireside session by the pool at the hotel as a crew.
We put in a 4.5 hour shift in the hot tub together.
Yeah. We were.
Did you come out like a prune?
I took like an hour break out by the fire and then I went back in as well. So I think
it's amazing when we go on these trips how many people like watch our shows and interact with us who aren't from Edmonton.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
It's absolutely insane, to be honest.
Strong Utah contingency.
Yeah, very strong.
Like 3 separate groups from Utah.
I know we didn't like the Utah chants, but if they ever do move.
Well, I just didn't want to jinx the team. That's all. I'm like, you can't. Because we had a bad second period. And
people
we were
chanting Utah when the game was tied. And I was like, stop it.
We need to manifest a victory. And then we slowed down and then the Oilers sped up. It was great. Patrick
was also from Utah. I thought he was Danish.
Just because you saw the name Patrick Casper, you're like, Casper, must be Danish.
And if you look at his picture, I don't know. He was in the chat.
Maybe he's got Danish roots.
There you go. I don't know. It feels kind of Danish to me.
Yeah, Utah was representing. It was good to hang out with Utah.
Angela from Scottsdale.
Yes.
She came on the post-game show. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
Adam from San Diego.
Oh, yeah. Oilers Adam. He's a beauty. Yeah.
The guys who are playing for ASU. The guy who also bought this sweater. Shout out the guy who sold these sweaters. He walked in the bar. Instantly was like 20 bucks.
If he had 100, he would have sold 100.
And 20 bucks for this.
I know.
It's a banging deal.
I don't know how you
lost money on that.
We can't make that for 20 bucks.
I'm coming on the next one. Hopefully next year. I think a good goal would be if the schedule breaks our way. 3. Oh, that'd be good. 1 every 20 games.
3 would be good. 3 would be good. And we'll I'm really hoping this Germany thing is a thing.
Or if they end up being
get our Lederhosen on.
Oh yeah,
it's a long flight, but I'll grind through for
can it be at the beginning of the season too, and you can get Oktoberfest. That's my dream.
It'd have to be like season opener, because Oktoberfest like late September, early October. Yeah. Don't let the name fool you.
True, that is true.
Oh, Christopher Palmer, time. 3 games on one road trip. He had a hell of a time going from St. Louis to Dallas.
Yeah,
he got the whole feature.
Yeah.
On the Sportsnet broadcast.
Yeah, that was crazy. I couldn't believe that. All right. Okay. Yeah. That is our Nation Vacation recap. I'm sure tomorrow on Real Life we'll do it all again so people can tune in there. But we do have a game tonight to talk about, just on the topic of Oilers fans, Nation citizens being the absolute best. How many like out of town, out of country people are in for this road trip right now? Like obviously there's our boy Dukes. Yeah. From Australia, who's in. I saw him and Waz went for Korean barbecue together yesterday.
Of course.
But Dukes is in. We have a couple of friends in from...
That real authentic. Well, actually, you know what? Yes, of course he's authentic. We have good Korean here.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's ever had a donair.
Well, that
that's authentic.
That has to happen.
But we have, I know, a couple of people coming in from like England and stuff like that, from the UK.
Blackpool, which is actually really close to me.
Really?
In Bolton. It's a, Lancashire town. What is Seaside. It? Actually, is Blackpool. They have a tower called the Blackpool Tower, which is similar to the original tower, but not quite as. They also have a massive roller coaster. You're ready for this one, Jay? It's called the Big One.
It better live up to the name.
It's big. It's a big boy.
So Russ Jericho, Jack McCarthy are the friends visiting us from over in the UK. And then Suark is in from the States as well. I saw him tweet us a little bit. Brandon, a fan from Illinois. Who's in? And I know there was someone else in the chat today, and I'm sorry because I lost the comment. I can't find it. Said they're going to their first Oilers game tonight in Edmonton as well. So that's really, really cool. If you are in town for whatever reason and you're looking for somewhere to watch the game on Saturday, just a reminder, we will be at Greta for our BOA watch party. There's a lot of reasons to attend these things, but come on. An 8 o'clock BOA on a Saturday night. That place is going to be absolutely rocking. We got food specials. We got drink specials. You get a shot when Edmonton pops home their first goal as well. Tickets at nationgear.ca. Proceeds all going to
prepaid.
Prepaid. That's what I said. I said you get a shot. Acquire one.
You got the AGLC father-in-law.
I know. Free play for kids is the charity for this one. So proceeds all go into a good cause as well. Head to nationgear.ca to get in the mix. If you're maybe looking for a family-friendly event to come and experience with the Nation crew, we're also doing brunch for Ben in a couple of weeks down at Greta. Again, pregame show is going to be going live from here as well. It's a matinee between Edmonton and Seattle on March 2nd. Tickets are $25 going to the Ben Stelter Foundation as well, which is always great to support them. Our second annual brunch for Ben at Greta. All ages as well. Your $25 ticket gets you in the door, and then from there we do have some food and drink specials at Greta. So it's going to be a couple of good parties here over the next couple of weeks for us with our friends over at Greta.
Do you remember what happened last year at brunch for Ben?
Was that the comeback against the Rangers?
It was the comeback against the New York Rangers when Evan Bouchard found his legs again, and then a couple of days later he had the game tying goal against Florida with like 3 seconds left.
That is correct. And ever since then, you could argue it's just been nothing like that for Evan Bouchard. He obviously had a big game against the Dallas Stars over the weekend, looked good against Arizona as well. A little tease for later in the show. He's hit a shot prop in 4 of 5. Interesting. Let's get into things a little bit. Sherwood Ford Giant game day edition of the show. Edmonton back on home ice. 5 straight home games to wrap up the month of February. You get Boston, Mini, Calgary, LA, and the St. Louis Blues as well. So honestly, like 5 relatively tough matchups as well. Boston, absolute wagon. Minnesota put up 10 goals on the Vancouver Canucks the other day. They're starting to get back in the mix a little bit. No matter where the Flames are in the standings, every game against the Flames is a tough matchup. Yes. And Edmonton's on the second of back-to-backs for that one. The Kings on Monday. Did you see that goal by Quinton Byfield yesterday?
Oh, that was nasty.
No.
That is an absolute goal of the year. It's probably a lock to be goal of the year, if we're being totally honest. And then the St. Louis Blues to wrap up the month, who just doubled up the Oilers less than a week ago. So it's a tough stretch. It starts tonight against the Bruins. The game day brought to you by Sherwood Ford at the Giant. Check them out online, sherwoodford.ca. We'll have our keys to victory in a bit. But what do you guys think? Back on home ice, a little 5-game run here. This is an intriguing test because... Like, you know, I'd be happy with 3-2 in this 5-game stretch just because how tough the opponents are. But Edmonton maybe putting a stamp down over this next 10-day run and being like, hey, look, we can beat really good teams. We own the ice at Rogers Place. Like, it could be an interesting statement week is what
we'll
call it.
Well, we have to make a statement against a few teams. Boston being one, showing that we lost him at home last year, but beat him on the road.
Beat him on the road. Late wrister from Darnell Nurse ended up being the difference.
Yeah. So, you know, it's good to show that we can be world beaters. So I think that's a statement game. The Minnesota Wild, for the life of me, is a statement game just to break that hex. Or should I call it X? Erickson Eck. We've been X'd. Obviously BOA. LA is a statement game after the last game we had against them. And then St. Louis, like, all these games are like statement games. You can create that narrative if you want. And I feel that it's true for all of them. So we got to come out. This is like the prove it alley.
Yeah. Right. Leading right up to the deadline too. Like if you go on a 4-1 kind of run here, you get points in 4 or 5 or something like that. I do think, you know, maybe
maybe we trade for Tanev on Friday night.
Oh, he switches locker rooms. That'd be something.
Do the old swap.
That'd be something. AJ was in on the chat and says, we're catching Vegas 5 points back. So taking a peek at the standings, this is going to tie into my Sherwood Ford Giant game day question here as well. Edmonton is actually 3 points back of Vegas with 4 games in hand. So very reachable. If you go 2-2 in your games in hand, you're going to be a point ahead of them. If that happens and you win the 2 games, you're going to hold the tiebreaker. The Oilers already have more regulation and regulation overtime wins than the Vegas Golden Knights. But the one I wanted to ask you guys about for the Sherwood Ford Giant question, the Vancouver Canucks are slipping. Their first 3-game losing streak of the year. Their power play is absolutely in shambles. You're 13 points back with 6 games in hand and 1 more head-to-head matchup. So the Oilers do technically control their own fate for the top spot in the division.
But that's assuming that you go undefeated in those games in hand.
Yeah, it's a long shot, but you control your own fate.
It's definitely doable. And yeah, we need Vancouver to continue sliding. We knew that, like, yes, they're a better team, and goddamn it, the GM is making some good moves. But at some point, they have to regress to the mean. Like, this is not sustainable. So I'm glad that they're sliding a little bit, get a little doubt in their heads. Hopefully, I wish we were playing them during this time to really kind of put that. That's a statement game and a half if there ever was one this season. But it's doable. I think we'll definitely leapfrog Vegas, and that's for a few reasons. Just the fact we got those games in hand, you know, our records, if you mash together OT and losses, OTLs and losses, I think is actually better. Is that our points percentage is better? Yeah, there you go.
644.
They're without Eichel and now without Stone.
LTIR space for Gensel, said someone in the chat.
Oh, that's the whole thing, man. Like,
such God BS.
It was Dacky who said that.
I
don't know if Eichel, and I know I said all this last year with Stone, but like, I don't know if Eichel's is that serious where they'll be able to do that again.
But if Stone goes LTR to playoffs, that's enough cap space to bring in Gensel.
Is it retroactive? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Is that what they did with Eichel?
Yeah.
So how much longer can he be on the LTIR?
Oh, he can be
forever,
on,
but like, what's the minimum?
The minimum or whatever it is, 10 games or 24 days or both. Both.
Okay, so he's already probably missed like 8 games, right?
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know, man.
So if one is done until the playoffs,
yeah,
that is all you need for Gensel, and you don't have to put any pieces in place to eat salary.
Yeah.
Another thing with Vancouver is they actually have a pretty tough stretch coming up too. They have Seattle tomorrow, then they have the Bruins at home, Pittsburgh kind of hit or miss, aren't they? The Kings, the Ducks who suck, then the Kings again, Golden Knights, Jets, and Avalanche.
Yeah, so, and I know
it's tough.
Yeah, we did. Someone said, before you say anything about the Canucks, look how it's Jack said, before you guys say anything about catching Van, look at their March schedule. It's all home games. So Vancouver is a really damn good home team this year, way better at home than they are on the road, even though they're kind of really good in both. But
they play all home games in March, Vancouver.
They play 9 in a row.
Yeah, they end the month with 9 straight home games.
Jeez, that seems.
Yeah, they have.
They're at home from March 8th all the way until the end of the month. And then they go on the road
for
then they months. Like head out to Vegas for and do the another Western swing. But 9 straight home games, that'll be good. But then you look at the teams they kind of play. It's like, okay, they get Winnipeg, they get Colorado in that mix as well. LA and Dallas are in that mix. So they do have, it'll help that they're on home ice. And the Oilers have a somewhat difficult scheduled stretches from now to the end of the year too. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe it is still out of reach. Yeah, it is still out of reach, but I don't think it's impossible anymore.
No, I think it's an option now. I think not that long ago, it's like, hey, they look like they're really out of reach, but this little skid has done something. But also, the Oilers are really good at home. They've lost once since the Knobloch at home.
Yep.
So there's nothing to say they can't win their next five games and be right next to Vancouver.
Well,
right?
These next five games will kind of tell us if they actually really do have a chance.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think they'll win four of the next five. I think I agree with what Jay said. Like, a lot of them are statement games. Uh-huh. Like, St. Louis embarrassed you. The Kings embarrassed you. You're playing Calgary. Minnesota have done some work on you earlier in the year. And then the Bruins are a tough game.
Goddamn Minnesota. Why am I scared of Minnesota?
I know. I agree, though. Like,
I just don't like it. And I'm going to the game, too, and I'm just, like, scared. The Oilers, I'll bet my way out of it.
So, Cole said the Oilers' April schedule is brutal to end the year. But
oh, yeah.
I would also maybe follow that up by saying their March schedule isn't that brutal. Like, you start with Seattle, they're not good. Or they're average. They're average, I'll say. Pittsburgh, you play them twice back-to-back Sundays to begin the month. They are not. They haven't been able to catch momentum at any point this year.
And they might not have Gensel.
They won't have Gensel for either of those games.
Well, he's hurt, right?
Yeah, he's out. Yeah. So they, no matter whether they trade him or keep him, they won't have Gensel for those games. Columbus is in there. Buffalo's in there. Washington, Montreal, Buffalo again. Like, Ottawa in the mix. You get Anaheim in April or in March as well. Like, there are a lot of winnable games. So as much as you could sit there and be like, well, Vancouver is on home ice for nine games and whatever. Vancouver plays some tough teams. They play some easy teams. The Oilers are kind of the same. And the Oilers themselves have 3, 6, 7 home games that month. So it's a crazy busy schedule.
Got to get through these five games. And then March is where we can catch up.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, winning, AB, if you want to flash up the schedule again, winning four of these five would be really tough.
I just don't want to play Vegas in the first round.
See, but someone else said they're sick of playing LA in the first round.
But we'd be playing.
That's boring.
What's that?
I don't like playing LA, but I don't want to play Vegas because
but we know we can beat LA.
We don't know what strategy is going in place with the Golden Knights here.
I know.
But yeah. You know what? We don't know what Uncle Ken has done yet at the traded line. So,
yeah,
you get through that first round and it should be smoother sailing.
All right. We still have a lot to get to today on the show. We are looking for a Service Credit Union mock trade. So if you got a mock trade, you can drop them in the chat. We'll maybe get to those a little bit later on in the show. Also, when Frank swings by, we're going to leave a little bit of time to get to some listener questions. So submit some mock trades in the YouTube chat. Go ahead and submit some questions for Mr. Saravalli as well.
Capitals what your question is. Easier for me to find it.
Oh, there you go. Okay. There you go. Help out, Aaron. Put in your question.
But when you read it, you have to yell.
Deal.
Oh, that might be kind of funny. I don't know if Frank will like the bit, but that sounds kind of funny. We have, and after that, we'll have our keys to victory for Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. All your usual Sherwood Ford, the Giant game day stuff going on today on the show. Frank Saravalli is, he's not in here yet. Sorry, I thought that was him who popped up at the bottom, but we'll get into some trade talk here. He's going to have a new trade target.
That was
board
the March schedule
coming up tomorrow. Oh, well, should we look at the March schedule? Let's give the people the visual.
Let's take a peek.
I know it's a little bit tough to see, but again, there are some winnable, like
decent spacing in there. Like, we don't have any back to back. We have one back to back, two back,
three back to backs,
three, okay, five back to back,
second and third, ninth and 10th, 23rd and 24th. That's a lot of back to backs, actually.
23rd, 24th. So is it Leafs, Ottawa? Is that the back to back?
Yeah, at the end there, Sunday to Monday or Saturday, Sunday. They're all Saturday, Sunday, back-to-back.
Weekend back-to-back. So if you're going to have a back-to-back, it's good to have it on a weekend.
Ooh, that's what I always say. On the road and in Pittsburgh at home.
Yeah, that's not ideal. Also, just from the perspective of pre- and post-games, Aaron, you have one day off next month.
Yeah, I've kind of been dreading this month the whole time. So
March Madness, they call it.
Yeah, it's absolutely going to be March Madness for the Oilers. Ay. Whew, yeah, that's a lot of hockey. You know who's going to have to step up there is Calvin Pickard. He's going to be relied like.
What do you mean step up?
Oh, I know he has been good, but.
Just
keep doing his thing,
just do your thing 3 or 4 times this month.
Well, pull it back up, Aaron. Sorry. I think this is where you get some relief for Skinner as well, isn't it? Like I said, Pickett's probably playing once a week through there.
He's got to.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
all the back-to-backs free, and then you got to cherry pick some matchups there.
Yeah. Like, I would be tempted, you know, that game against Montreal, for example, right? You maybe give Pickard that one and it's like, okay, Stu has like a 4-day break in the middle of month.
That's a lot of hockey.
It is. It's a ton of hockey.
Maybe like the second week there you give him
Washington.
The Pittsburgh week.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you give him Pittsburgh at home and then you end the week with him against Buffalo on the road and
breaks it up nicely.
Yeah.
Like he could play five times this month, that month.
Yeah.
Yeah, straight up. Because he's getting all three. So with the back to backs, he's getting one each. And like I said, Montreal, and maybe you give him like even that Columbus one, Liam, or whatever. Like, yeah, you're definitely playing Pickard. Yeah. I think this month will actually be really close to a 50-50 split, for being totally honest.
Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Montreal, Ottawa, Anaheim.
Okay.
So the Pittsburgh, Skinner gets that 4 week of Pittsburgh, Washington, Avalanche, and then you come back with the Montreal game for Pickard.
Avalanche game will be interesting. That'll be another size-up game.
All right. Let's get out to the Star Mechanical guest line. Star Mechanical is one of Edmonton's biggest locally owned and operated plumbing and heating businesses. They've been in the community for more than 20 years, and many of the homes built in Edmonton over the last 20 years, it's had that Star Mechanical stamp of approval on it. They do 24/7 emergency service, plumbing, heating, HVAC services. You can contact them online at starmechanical.ca. We contact Frank Saravalli every Wednesday on this program from Daily Faceoff. Frank, we were just we started the show with our Nation vacation recap, and we, you know, finally got to see a game out in Mullet Arena. Maybe the only time we'll get to go out there.
Sad.
It's sad, but also it was very cool to see the Oilers play in a tiny rink like that. But at the same time, Frank, there was like the non-Oilers fan side of my brain that was like, this is wildly embarrassing that this is a legit NHL barn for 41 games a year.
Yeah, and I think the NHL is at the point where they're saying, okay, we could understand the embarrassment to get to where we want to get to. I mean, NHL teams for the test of time have been playing in temporary arena solutions. The Corral in Calgary, whatever, the Cow Palace in San Jose. Like, there have been tough spots that the league has been in, but it's for a finite period of time, two seasons and out. Three seasons at the most. The issue with the Coyotes in Arizona is that there's no end in sight. It's interminable. They don't have any concrete plans to get anywhere in an arena. And I think the league is finally saying enough.
Yeah.
But I'm going to chalk that up to one of my favorite NHL experiences. I know it's embarrassing for the league, but just to go and attend and just, it was amazing.
Yeah, I'd recommend every fan go and try to do it. Yeah. If especially
you got about two months left, a month and a half.
What do you think, Frank? You think they're going to Utah?
I do. Yeah, I think I think the league is fed up. I think they are not believers in this ownership group anymore. That's just my personal belief. No one has said that to me, but you can just tell by the way they talk about Alex Mariuolo and his group that. I think they've lost faith that they can be the group that pulls this off. And, you know, until we see a definitive statement one way or the other, we won't know for sure, but that's just the sense I get talking to people.
You are going to have a new trade targets board coming out tomorrow at dailyfaceoff.com. So let's get into the trade talk a little bit. The last time you put out a new list, a name like Scott Laughton surged all the way up into your top five, a couple other new names in the top 10 as well. Can you give us a little tease? Is there one name that's going to be creeping up your board higher than others?
Well, one name that's going to be added to the board, I don't know where he's going to land, probably somewhere inside the top 10, would be Riley Smith from the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I think he's going to be an interesting guy because he has the playoff experience. He was a huge part of the Golden Knights run last year. And is there any chance that for a Vegas Golden Knights team that's looking for a winger, could they just reunite? And not to give Oilers fans nightmares from last year's playoff series, but I envision the Golden Knights at some point bulking up. And with that looming as a very likely first round matchup, could get really spicy.
Yeah, it could be Riley Smith one more year at $5 million. He was obviously traded from Vegas to Pittsburgh, and there was no salary retained in that transaction. So he is free to go right back to Vegas. Pittsburgh would be free to retain money on that as well, I believe. So that would be an interesting reunion. But you look at that number of $5 million cap hit, and I know, Frank, it's always a hot topic. It leaves people rolling their eyes, but Eichel on LTIR, Stone out. Do you think Vegas is like, are they really going to get away with this again?
I'd imagine we don't have any idea on timelines because Vegas is really so secretive about their injuries, but I'd imagine that they're going to be very closely watched from a league standpoint and from other teams crying foul that unless it's legitimate, I don't think they're going to be able to get away with it.
What do you think the Oilers have any interest in bringing in another goaltender? I know Tyler tweeted out the other day that Pickard has done a good enough job to be here. And
I got flamed for it.
Yeah, a lot of people
coming down my throat for
paying attention. I would have come to your defense.
I just don't see how that can be an option for this team when there's probably 300 other bigger needs in front of it. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and I think that's where the Oilers have arrived. Like, in the back of everyone's head, I think everyone's kind of curious. You know, are we, if for whatever reason Stuart Skinner falters in the playoffs, are we comfortable with the pieces that we have behind him? And there's been no evidence to point to when it comes to Cal Pickard and his play that he's been anything but solid for this team to this point. And then you've got Campbell waiting in the wings with no salary cap if you need to use him in the playoffs, which I think is a really nice, you know, sort of side benefit. Not saying that you want to throw him in there at any point, but if you have to, he's certainly better than a lot of other third goalie alternatives and options that I don't think the Oilers are overly concerned right now. And frankly, with relatively limited assets to spend, like, they're in good shape right now, but once you go about filling some of those other holes, that there's probably not going to be a ton left over. And I don't think that it's super high on their priority list right now.
One area we've talked about a lot is obviously upgrading the forward depth, and that's split into kind of two areas. It's, do you want the high-end right wing? Do you want the good bottom six centerman to round out the depth? We saw Nick Dowd go down with an injury the other day. Do we know how significant that is yet?
Not yet. They've obviously recalled a player, so he's going to be missing at least one game, but we don't know for sure how long he's going to be out. But I'd have to believe that he's one of those guys that's on Edmonton's list that they'd have to be thinking about for bottom six help.
The other guy, and there was a deadline countdown story about him, was Scott Laughton, and that idea of going out and getting a guy with some term. You and I talked about this a little bit on DFO Live today, but I kind of said, and you compared it to the Barkley-Goudreau deal. That was a Tampa team with a ton of high-end talent that went and identified a guy that was, okay, he's just going to make us deeper. And I do think it's an interesting argument for the Oilers of, you have all this high-end talent, not saying they're the Tampa Bay Lightning or anything, but this is a guy who's just going to come in and kind of bring you something you don't have. Good defensive effort, PK, all of that kind of stuff. He does produce a little. Do you think there's legitimate interest between the Oilers and Laughton?
I'd call it cursory interest. I'd say that they're on the list of teams that have contacted the Flyers to check in and gauge interest. But I don't think that, given the high price the Flyers have set, because they're in a position playoff-wise that with 2 years left on his deal, they don't have to do anything. They've basically said, come and pay this price and, you know, you can have him. And if not, we're keeping him for ourselves. That I think Edmonton and a number of other teams have sort of made the decision that while he's an intriguing piece, he certainly presents a different element than, you know, really what the Oilers have in their bottom six. That the question is, given the high price, and yes, there is, you know, the potentiality of three playoff runs with him, but how much does he really change your playoff chances this year? If you're talking, you know, how many of these deadline pieces as a whole, I think it's fair to ask of the whole market, we're talking probably low single digit percent changes that these players would be making outside of a Jake Guentzel and outside probably of a Noah Hanifin. We're talking low single digits in terms of changing your playoff fortunes in playoff chances. And that, I think, is a really important way to look at the deadline relative to future assets. Is short of getting one of those guys or short of putting together a package where you fill multiple voids, I don't think the Oilers think that it makes a lot of sense to target Laughton in that case.
Well, sometimes, like, playing and working around the edges for those small percentage gains, it's like the sum of the work that and the additions you make in that game really have an impact. Now, if you were to look at, like, and this is just removing contract scenario aside, just the player itself or themselves, like, who would you think is a better fit, Dowd or Laughton, for the Oilers?
I'd say Dowd. I think you want to remove the contract part of it, but unfortunately you can't. that 1 year at $1 million is a huge difference maker for me and a huge differentiator than Lawton. And I would say that, you know, the tough part for Dowd is that even in one of his really good years, his offensive production is very similar to a bad year from Scott Lawton. But I think there's just more to it. I think there's more speed. I think there's more energy. And I think when you think about different elements for the Oilers, like those are two pretty key things. Like he's an ace forechecker, and yes, Scott Lawton can apply pressure and he can be an elite penalty killer that I think is really important. He's plays the most shorthanded minutes among forwards for the Flyers, who have the second best unit in the league and first in net penalty killing percentage. All those things are interesting, but you know, relative to, you know, contract to acquisition cost to whatever it might be, I think I'm slightly preferential to Dowd, but I think it's a really fair question.
Where are we at with Chris Tanev right now? Are the Flames still looking for a second round pick, or has that price gone up a little bit?
Nope. They are looking for the best deal they can get. And I think they're hoping for a first round pick. I think they've got multiple second round picks on the table from multiple teams, not meaning two, but meaning that there's many teams that have let them know, hey, we're willing to trade a second round pick to get Chris Tanev. And so they're kind of holding out hope that they can get to that next level, whether it's through conditions, whether it's through better conditions, whether it's through sweetening the package by adding, you know, prospects involved, whatever it might be. They're trying to squeeze out every last drop from a deal on Tanev. And should someone step up and be willing to hit that price for that first round pick, I think you'd see him move instantly, but no one has gotten to that level just yet.
Are the Oilers in the mix?
I think they're keeping an eye on it. I don't think he's their number one priority or target, but I think that they're certainly monitoring it.
Are they looking at any other potential defensive help?
If they are looking for other defensive help, it would certainly be more of the depth variety than that type of level defenseman.
All right, Frank, we're going to wrap it up with some questions from the audience for our friends at Great Clips. There's nothing better than that confident feeling of walking out with a new haircut. I got trimmed up the other day a little bit before the trip. I was feeling good. With more than 4,400 hair salons throughout the United States and Canada, Great Clips is the world's largest hair salon brand and the official hair salon of the NHL. They're locally owned and operated, open 7 days a week. And with the Great Clips check-in app, you can see the wait time, check in on your phone, and get your haircut when you need. Check out or find out more at greatclips.com. We got one here from our boy Mainlander, Tim Frank, who wants to know, any chance the Oilers can trade Jack Campbell? We haven't heard a lot about that recently, or are they heading towards a summer buyout?
I think it's a situation that needs to be addressed. I don't think it is prudent to do it right now. I'd been saying for months on this show that I thought they should try and find a way to move him. But I think with the way things have developed, with the spot that they're in, not addressing their goaltending, I think they're better off keeping him right now and then potentially addressing that in the summer. I think waiting as long as they can on that front will be certainly more beneficial.
And last one we had for you, I know you pointed it out on Twitter that we got a friend from Illinois coming to Edmonton for a nice Oilers road trip. We got our boy Dukes from Australia. We got a couple of friends from the UK in this weekend, all coming for their first Oilers games. I want to ask you, you're an Eagles guy, you're a Phillies guy. What's your like dream Eagles or Philly road trip that you want to go on? Is there somewhere you'd love to see one of your teams play?
Well, I'm trying to see the Phillies play in London this year. They're playing the Mets, so I'd love to do that. The Eagles, they're going to Sao Paulo for their first game of the year, the first ever NFL game played in South America. And while it's a great time of year, it's opening week in the NFL for a hockey reporter to go. It's like the first week of September. I can't really get my friends on board to do it because they're like, Brazil, like, I don't know. I'm like, well, what's the worst that could happen? They're like, I don't know. You get your kidney carved out for trying to go to an NFL game. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of a fair point.
So maybe Phillies in London is the play, is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that might be the best situation. I was really hoping that the Eagles got they were talking about going to Germany this year. That would have been really cool.
That would have been sweet. All right, there you go.
But I got to ask you something, though. Okay. Why? So I was talking to Kevin Karius about this on the Kevin Karius show on Sports 1440. Why are there so many Bruins fans that infiltrate Edmonton?
I don't think that I have a lot of travel here. It's just original six teams always perform well in Canada because there's just like a deep rooted history. So when there was only so many teams, that's your grandpa was a diehard Bruins fan. So then your dad became a diehard Bruins fan. And so it kind of trickles down.
Yeah.
So it's just, I think it's just because of the history of the original six that there's a lot of like, well, when Toronto comes, God, that's annoying because there's so many Leafs fans, but there's just a lot of people from Toronto originally that now live out here in Edmonton. Same with Montreal, and then just Boston being that original six
and team. I think because they're Eastern Conference teams, it's easy for Oilers fans. Like, yeah, my dad and grandpa were Bruins fans. So, like, that's my second team. That's my Eastern Conference team. So the one game they come a year, you trade in your Oilers jersey for a Bruins jersey and go watch the game. I think that's what it is.
I find that to be so suspect. Like, we've talked about this, though. Like, the same people that wear Oiler jerseys all season long, for that one game a year, they all of a sudden you see the same people at the rink and they're wearing a Leaf jersey and you're like, that is just not okay.
Like, unless you're going with your grandpa, right? You're like, I'm taking grandpa to the game. He loves the Bruins. I'm going to support grandpa. That's about it. But like, yeah, for like, if it's not that situation, it just ick.
Sorry, grandpa.
Kevin was saying that he thinks a lot of people come over from Saskatchewan for just the Bruins game. Like, for whatever reason, there's a huge swath of Bruin fans there.
Yeah, for sure. Our boy, Kerry McGowan, he's a Sasky boy and he's a Boston fan when Boston's in town, Boston first. Saskatchewan's a free agent province.
Yeah, it is. So there's probably a part of that too, is Edmonton's the closest destination for like a lot of rural Western Canadian fans. Yep. So if it is your team, it's the one time you,
well, Bobby Orr, man, like that's the thing. Like Bobby Orr had an impact on Canadian hockey fans,
which I understand, but that's also like 50 plus years ago now.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point.
I find it interesting. I don't know. That's all. Yep. And I think the idea that Edmonton is a destination for fans, like even Oiler fans that are sprinkled around the province and drive in, you know, they make it an event. You drive in 5 hours for the game, or if you live 3 hours, you load up in a limo with a bunch of buddies and you know, you do that. Like, that is an amazing part of Oilers fandom that I can't wrap my brain around sometimes. Well,
there's McMullet. He lives in Strathmore, Alberta, which is south of Calgary, and he comes to every home game.
He's been at every home game at Rogers Place, and I think the streak might even go longer than that. He drives 3 hours one way and goes home that night. It's wild.
I was going to say, so he doesn't stay over?
Oh,
nope, goes home.
Never has.
Wow. Like, that is a level of dedication, and then, like, how do you stay awake doing that drive every time in the middle of the night?
You could probably make that drive with his eyes closed.
And also, like, I think my 30-minute drive home is miserable if the Oilers shit the bed. I couldn't imagine stewing on it for, like, 3 hours. You're like, God damn it. It sucks. It is. It's dedication. All right, Frank, we got to wrap it up. Big shout out to our friends at Great Clips. GreatClips.com. It's going to be great. And Frank on the Star Mechanical Guest Line. Thanks for doing this, Frank.
See you guys.
See you, Frank.
Bye, Frank.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ready? Okay.
Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Frank's gone. StarMechanical.ca to check out their 27 emergency repair options. They do it all at Star Mechanical.
Did I tell you I have my game today?
Oh, Liam's game.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't.
I'm excited. It's my first Liam's game of the season.
Give me a minute because I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I got him.
Are they in the, we're good? We got the boards, though?
Yep.
Okay, so while we pull up that, let me do this.
You also had to explain it to me as well.
Yeah,
I'll explain it.
Okay, we have a lot to get to then in the final 18 minutes of the show, so we're going to motor through a couple of things. Service Credit Union mock trade. The trade is fake. The money you can win at Service Credit Union is very, very real. The Service Big Share Contest is back for a sixth year, and it's your chance to win $1 million just by saving money. Yeah, real money.
Or just play Tyler at mini golf.
Ah, damn it. Anyone can enter by becoming a member and saving with Service. Every $500 saved gives you five entries into the Service Big Share Contest. Transfer your existing savings to Service for chances to win $1 million. Contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required. For rules, visit service.ca/win. A couple of you threw them into the chat, so I will bring these to our attention. The first one came in from Cal. Is it my five-month-old nephew, Cal? Who knows? Fogle, a first and a fourth for Tarasenko at 50% retained. So basically what you'd be breaking this thing down and do, the fourth is for Ottawa to keep 50% of the money. The first and Fogle is the value for Tarasenko. I'll start overpay for the Oilers.
Huge.
You do not need to. You don't need Fogle in that. I don't even think you need a first.
But you
I
need to get salary out, though. Oh, no, we have the cap space for that.
50% retained, and you could probably make it work. Second and third rounder for Tarasenko at 50% retained is the move. I wouldn't give up Fogle in this trade because I want to keep him as an internal rental in ways. Like, he's an important part of this forward group, so I wouldn't give up that much for Tarasenko.
No, I wouldn't either. I would maybe do, like, a pick in Lavoie.
Like first in Lavoie?
Maybe even like a second. I don't know. Like
I don't think his value's that high. I don't think
you don't think teams are looking at him.
No, I think they are. I just think
like this is what happens. People like GMs go like mental as things kind of just stew until the 11th hour.
Yeah.
And like that first that they were never going to give up, they'll give up.
But last year there was a lot in this deal, but the Rangers only gave up a conditional first round pick for him.
A conditional first is fair.
Yeah. I just think there are enough
Toronto conditional first, like it's going out of style.
There are enough other quality forwards on the market that I don't think Tarasenko.
Who would you put above him?
Well, can you go to the top 10 of the trade targets board? Okay, Henrik, Lawton.
You'd put Henrik in front of him.
Yeah, I put Henrik in front of Tarasenko. He's not the player he used to be. I think he's a good complimentary winger, but there's question marks in that game.
He can shoot.
And if Gensel's available and Buchnevich is available, like, I don't know. There are some.
I'm just worried about. I think the acquisition cost for those guys is much higher, and that's
if it costs you. If Ottawa says we want a first and say Lavoie to keep 50%, I just say I'm good, and I go give up a second for Anthony Duclair, and I save the asset.
I wonder why.
So you put Duclair and Tarasenko at the same level.
I put Tarasenko above Duclair, but not at such a significant gap that I'm willing to give up a first for one.
What about a conditional first?
Then you're tying up two picks and you have other needs you need to address. I don't really see that either. Second mock trade we have is from Bring Cassian Home, who said you give up the first. He said 2014. I'm going to assume he actually meant 2024.
I think I wrote that.
If you can pull off the 2014, do it.
Do it. Wait, who is our first rounder in 2014? Nurse? Wait, no, Dreisaitl.
Dreisaitl.
Oh, no, I'm out on that.
No.
I'm good. 2024 first, Borgo, Fogle, and a third for Buchnevich and Sundqvist. Sundqvist is a guy there's been some talk about as maybe
Don't mind the package.
So Sundqvist comes in at 775K. If you were to waive Janmark or include Janmark in the deal and bring him in, you save a little bit of cap space there, which would be interesting. The only problem I have with this, I love Pavel Buchnevich. 5.8 million extra year on the deal. Love the extra year. Not sure quite how you work in 5.8 for this offseason.
I'm just going to say what everyone else says. Cap's going up.
Oh, yeah. Like, I get that. But, oh, man. Just kind of looking at.
To answer the trade, yes.
I would do that because you're filling two holes.
It's tough to kind of figure out with the money. But if you can figure it out, then yeah.
Whatever. If you can make the money work, I'd be in. Like, the first in a deal for
Bucinevich. Say bring Cassian home too.
That's, yeah. That's his name. That's his name. Oh, on YouTube chat.
Sorry.
Yeah, everyday listener. There you go. There are your mock trades for Service Credit Union and the Service Big Share contest. We got Liam's game.
Yep.
Okay, well, let's get to Liam's game. And today it's going to be brought to you, Aaron. I'm throwing you on the spot. It is brought to you by Tourism Jasper today. You can find out still some time left in winter. Still a couple of weeks left if you want to go out and experience the Rockies. They had a bunch of family day stuff going on, which looked like a lot of fun. But you don't need any excuse to go to the Rockies. You're going out right away to Jasper, Liam, just to treat your girl.
I am. JPL, here I come.
That's a smart man. Tour or jasper.travel to find out more information.
And shout out one of our nation vacation trip goers, Jenna, who lives in and works in Jasper.
Yep.
I drove home right after a flight.
Oh, yeah, she was on call.
On call that night as a nurse.
Hostel, yeah. But she moved to Jasper and she's like, I love this place.
How could you not? Jasper.travel to find out more. Liam's game. So here's how it works. We got $25 to Nation Gear up for grabs.
Can I win it?
Yes.
Okay.
So we have an easy player.
I got some hard currency to spend here.
Yeah. We have an easy player and a tough player. Liam gives the clues. If you're the first one to get the easy player, you're entered into the draw. If you're one of the first three to get the tough player, you're also entered into the draw. We spin the wheel for four names. One of you gets $25 to Nation Gear. It's all brought to you by
I feel like I'm too delicate to try to reach deep into the database here.
Here's another layer to it. Nobody. The play is played from 2000 onwards. So no, we're not going too far back. Also, since this is the first time we've ever done it on a game day, both these players played for Edmonton and Boston.
Hell yeah.
So, okay.
Well, now I can't wait. You're all proud of that. Yeah,
the wheel's spinning right now.
Let's go. Give us the clues.
Here's the easy one.
I've got a dirty one. I'm ready for it.
I played close to 1,000 games in the NHL. I was drafted in a round that no longer exists. I played for four different NHL teams. I played for both Edmonton and Calgary, and I guess also Boston.
Sorry, defenseman?
Ooh. I think I know it.
Sorry.
Okay. Maybe.
Is it right?
Might be right.
Oh, man.
That's where I'm going to lock in my guess. Edmonton, I'm going to see if anybody...
Calgary with a Boston sprinkle.
All right.
Somebody already got it.
This is the easy one?
Yes. Are we giving it, even though he spelt it slightly wrong?
Yeah, I'll give it to
we'll
him.
Give it to him? All right.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is him. Yeah.
Where is it? We can flash up.
That should have been easy. I told you the processor after a nation vacation runs a little slow.
Yeah, it was Seth Van Berkel who got it.
Andrew Ferentz.
Andrew Terrence.
We'll give you that one, Seth. We'll give you that one. Seth is in the draw. The easy one
Eighth-round pick, you know, Ferentz.
That is crazy.
Yeah. His other team he played for was Pittsburgh.
He was
drafted by the Penguins.
And then he went to Calgary, and then he signed the ticket in Boston.
Yes, and then Edmonton.
And then Edmonton. All right, there you go. Andrew Ferentz was your first answer. Your second player.
Second player. This one a little bit more tricky. I played less than 200 games in the NHL.
Oh, jeez.
I am a defenseman. I never played more than 50 games in an NHL season. I finished my career playing in Europe.
Oiler and Bruin.
Oiler and Bruin.
Oh,
that's a big hint.
I am a defenseman.
Defense.
People still guessing Andrew Ferentz.
This one is not going to be Ferentz again. Ooh, that's an interesting one. Is it not Sean Brown?
Oh no, I thought you were looking at Griffin Reinhart.
Oh, Sean Brown is a good choice. Is that it?
No, it's not Sean Brown. I think he played more than 200 games.
Yeah, I kind of thought he did too. Oh man, I am trying to rack my brain on this.
From 2000 on.
Yeah, 2000 on.
Is it?
I have a mystery clue. As soon as I say it, people will guess it. So I will leave it to the side.
A defenseman, less than 200 games, finished the career in Europe. There's maybe, is it that one?
Yes.
Oh, that is
it. I did not know he played for Boston.
So I think he's got to go in.
It's been a few now.
Have we hit all three?
I have three names. I'll give the final clue for people. You once stepped on someone's face in warm-ups.
that does give it away. If you didn't know it, you know it. So there you go. We got our three names in the draw. Mainlander Tim was one of them.
JBD and Keegan McDowell.
You have to say who the player is.
Corey Potter.
Corey Perry.
Corey Potter was the answer for the tough mystery player today. So we got four names in the draw. Liam,
here we go.
Spinning the wheel. Can you show the people the wheel just quickly? They need to see the wheel. The winner is
JBD.
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 See that from there. JBD, you've won $25 to Nation Gear. Email me, Tyler@thenationnetwork.com, and say, I am JBD. I am the winner, and we will get you hooked up with a $25 GC to Nation Gear, where you can maybe get the varsity collection that Liam's rocking. Maybe you want to come to one of the watch parties. Does that work? The gift card work?
I don't know.
It might be only on merch. I shouldn't have said that. Who knows? Just get a hoodie anyways.
Why? What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know. Just get a hoodie. The varsity collection. It's beautiful. Simplistic. Yeah,
try it at Costco. Probably will work.
Lance, I won 25 bucks once. Spent 100 bucks on Nation Gear. I can see how you'd get a little carried away. There you go. Liam's game brought to you by Tourism Jasper. We have to talk about our keys to victory. It's been a short four giant game day, both Frank and the Nation Vacation recap. We really haven't sunk our teeth into this matchup here. One trend that has emerged for the Oilers as of late that I am getting real tired of, and it is going to be my key to victory for our friends at Shore Power Sports and Marine. Don't fall asleep for the middle 20 minutes. If you do that against Boston, like, they totally fell apart for 20 minutes against Arizona, and it was tied going into the third. If you fall asleep for 20 minutes against Boston, they're really damn good. You will probably be down by 3 goals if that happens. So it is an easy key to victory for me, guys. It is don't fall asleep in the middle 20.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Stuart Skinner is my key to victory tonight. I think he's actually been pretty good, and the team has let him down, but I would like to see him tighten things up a little bit.
Steal a game for us?
Yeah, we'll take that.
I don't hate that either. Jay, you got
to keep it's hard not to kind of echo what you said, Tyler. It's just play hard for 60 minutes. You're playing the Boston Bruins. So this is a very interesting test. You're going to need to play hard against them, even if they're not having their best night. So a strong, full 60-minute effort.
Mainlander Tim, key to victory. PK is back. Mainlander Tim also said, OMG, I'm getting texts from my wife who heard my name. Apparently she's out somewhere and listening to the chat. Made a new fan on the vacation, which we absolutely love to hear. Our keys to victory for Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. The opening is coming up this March, and you will not want to miss it. It will be the exclusive spot in Sherwood Park for all things Yamaha, which include Yamaha boats, boat motors, dirt bikes, ATV side-by-sides, and motorcycles. It is Sherwood Power Sports and Marine teaming up with our friends at Sherwood Ford the Giant, and they will get you ready for all of your favorite summer activities. Get out on the water. I think we're going to have a good summer. Maybe we do a show from a boat.
Got to get on a boat.
Yes. Got to get on a boat. All right, there you go. Sure, our keys to victory for sure.
Connect to your sweater.
We do have some game notes to get to today for the Boston Bruins. They come in. They've honestly kind of been sputtering along a little bit as of late. It has not been a good run. 4-4-2 in their last 10. They're no longer in that top spot in the Eastern Conference. That now belongs to the Florida Panthers, and they have been having some pretty weak defensive efforts as of late. Against the Dallas Stars, the Bruins gave up 74 shot attempts at 5v5. And I also looked into things with their dynamic duo. We obviously know the Oilers, McDavid and Drysdale, they're split up again for this hockey game today, which I always say is best for the Oilers. But the Bruins, with both Pastrnak and Marchand on the ice at 5-on-5 this year, the goals are only 17-16 in favor of Boston at 5-on-5. With both of them off the ice, they're actually outscoring the other team 60-47. The differential is much greater with their two best players off the ice versus on the ice. And considering they were such a dynamic duo with Patrice Bergeron last year, it's been interesting to see that Boston, again, actually is finding better success with this line combo. Marchand and Pastrnak on separate lines. You see Pastas playing with Zacha and DeBrusk. Charlie Coyle centers Brad Marchand and Danton Heinen. With just Pastrnak on the ice, 27-13. With just Marchand, 15-11. So Boston's found this great little depth balance play, which is surprising considering they lost Krejci. They lost Bergeron. They seemingly had a black hole down the middle, but they've somehow found a way to just keep it humming along.
It's just a culture that they've been able to build. There's that mentality of we can win with whatever lineup we have, right? And it's been like that way for years when guys just leave. And they're just a good team. It doesn't matter who's out there. So I think they're a threat everywhere. And it is interesting that they've been able to split those guys up and still find it, though.
Mm-hmm. Joel says, would love DeBrusk on the oil. Shout out to our boy Louie, who signed Captain Felton's Louis DeBrusk rookie card necklace. And Captain Felton was very excited about that. Jay, this Bruins team, man, they just keep humming and they're dangerous. And they have two good goalies and a good blue line. It's just like, holy shit.
Yeah, they might be sputtering right now, but they're still 4-4-2 is sputtering.
Yeah, I know.
All right, yeah. So like that's a pretty good nide to be on if that's what how bad it's gonna be. But you got to take these guys for real. and they're pros and they know how to win hockey games. So we have to make sure we show up.
Game notes for today are brought to you by Charm Diamond Centers. Whatever you need, they have knowledgeable staff. They're willing to listen. Even if you're maybe someone who's not great in the jewelry game, Charm Diamond Centers can help you out. They're also Canadian owned with more than 85 locations across the country through Charm and their sister brands. If you're in the market for a ring, you can get a custom ring built and delivered in less than 4 weeks with the Charm Masterpiece Program and an unbeatable pricing policy. For more information, go to charmdiamondcenters.com. Those are your game notes for tonight as Edmonton gets set to take on Boston. Game day betting challenge for our friends at Betway. 19 plus, please play responsibly. None of us hit big.
We chased the juice.
Did we ever? I regret nothing.
I know. And I had one I was looking at, but I'm like, no, I got to go for more. And I think that one hit too. Damn it.
I came very close. McDavid, 2 assists, I bet.
But you know, you had
of course he's bankroll cashed.
I still like my portfolio of betting for that game. I was still up, and there was a lot of heart bets there.
Yeah, you are still up on the year, and I had a little bit of a run going there. I cleaned up like 3.5 units or 4 units over a week run. But no, I'm coming off a loss. I mentioned earlier, Evan Bouchard's hit his shot prop in 4 of his last 5. David Pastrnak loves shooting the puck. He's been hitting this mark a lot. Pasta and Bouch, it's one of those little player same game things they put together. One of the player specials on Betway. That's the column you have to go to. Play those two together. It's plus 125. I like that. Plus money. Honestly, I don't know how the Oilers are going to come out back on home ice. The Bruins are a damn good team. I don't love that the Oilers are heavy, or not heavy, but they're, it's not a pickup. The Oilers are minus 130 on the money line. So
they should. They should be.
I know.
They're the home team.
I know.
But still, money line just makes me nervous. So I'm going to something that doesn't involve a winner. Both teams have been getting good goaltending through stretches. So Pastrnak and Bouch, 3+ shots, plus 125. Liam, you're going with what we'd call your new old reliable.
I mean, come on. 2+ assists from McDavid, plus 200. Send me the check. McDavid, I think he'll get a goal tonight, too. He hasn't scored in quite a while since Vegas.
Okay, what do you like?
Well, you know, it was really hard to try to pick a bet, and it's probably because, once again, the state I'm in. So this is the only one I could really look at and understand what it meant. So I think a power play goal in the first. I just think...
Just throwing a dart.
Yeah. It's plus money. Gets me back, you know, back on the good side. So power play goal in the first.
All right.
2.2 to 1.
All three of us going with plus money bets for our Betway Game Day betting challenge. You guys hanging on to those positive units by a thread. Mm-hmm. I am looking to have some sort of a final 20-game run here where I can get hot. So there you go. The challenge for our friends at Betway 19 Plus. Please play responsibly. The menu for DoorDash, 25% off, zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. You see it up at the top of your screen. Don't air for you tonight, Liam.
Oh, yeah.
I am probably going to do a burrito on my way home because I am feeling it today.
Well,
don't air for me.
I'm torn between oodle noodle or pho.
That's interesting. What I like doing as well, and my drive back into St. Albert is like 25 minutes. So you can go on DoorDash and instead of having them drop it off at your house, you can just go pick it up at the restaurant. So you still get your DoorDash rewards and all that stuff. You rack up the points. And then just on your way home, you zip in, grab the food. Like, you're the DoorDash driver. I'm my own DoorDash driver sometimes. So I'm probably going to be doing that on my way back in today. What do we got going on? The Notebook recorded a new episode the other day. That is up on... No, it did not. It's coming up.
On Friday.
You guys have a new one coming up.
Better late than never today.
And we got pre-gaming tonight with Boardsy and myself.
We barely talked about the hockey game going on. So if you want any information, come hang out with me. Tyler, we'll get you all set for pregaming. And what as well, I don't even know if we brought this up. RNH is sick. Looks like he's not going to play tonight.
Holloway.
Warren Fogle, top sick. Line.
Yeah, Fogle up to the top line with McDavid and Hyman. I don't hate that at all. Kane with Drysdale and McLeod. Got to keep McLeod up there in the top six. What'll just be interesting to me is if Nuge is good to play. I know Gregor says it seems unlikely, but if Nuge is good to play, is Fogle the placeholder for Nuge? Is Holloway the placeholder for Nuge? Which one is it? This, Fogle. Though, just Fogle. With the lines Fogle. The way they are, this feels like he's not playing tonight.
I don't think he'll play. I mean, if he's sick, you shouldn't give him the time. You got a lot of big games coming
up. It stings to not happen tonight, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Big chance for Evander Kane on the power play.
Yeah, that's
Paul
a good
Perry,
point.
Maybe Perry. probably Kane.
Vogel goal is probably a good bet tonight.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Although, like,
should have talked about the lineup before we did our betting segment.
I told you, man. I did. I just was not in the right minds.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Some game notes for you from our friends at DoorDash as well. Pre-gaming comes up at 7 o'clock with myself and Aaron Bordato. I'll be at the game tonight as well as you'll return home.
Wearing a Bruins jersey for Grandpa?
Yeah. Or like that guy in our section who at the game. Oilers, he's wearing Yote stuff. Oilers go up 5-3, just Yote stuff comes off. McDavid shirt underneath. Yeah,
love that guy.
Yeah, that was hilarious. All right, that is a wrap on today's edition of the show. Big shout out to Frank Saravalli for swinging by on the Star Mechanical guest line. It was nice to be back in studio and doing a nice regular show as well. And again, pre and post game tonight right here on the Oilers Nation YouTube. I'll be on with Gregor today as well. So he's live right here in just under an hour as well. And then we'll talk to you tomorrow on hopefully a Victory Thursday edition of the show. See you at noon Mountain Time.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.